Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check those group chats. That's a fun thing we do from time to time. What's everybody saying in the group chat? All right, this is
a lot of
swearing and some of the responses.
What are the cleanest ones I can get?
Both sides of the ball are playing terrible. People have sent us screenshots. Evan's got one. I started coming around to McDermott the first few games. Thought maybe he learned some hard lessons. Was keeping injured defense in good shape, but he needs to be fired after today. And won't happen, but holy bleep, he was colossally brutal today. It is a miracle they kept the game that close with an offense that bad.
Yeah. Worse than the league. That week. Last week.
Yesterday. More.
My group chat. The cleanest I got is right before the kick. Ain't no way Sam Martin's kicking this to the 50. This game is over.
Some Sam Martin catching strays here.
Yeah.
Mine, let me see if I got one of mine in what's going on the group chat here. We got a, can we get Diggs back?
Yeah.
Would you take Gabe Davis?
Game ended when they go, this game ended when they got the ball at the 13 and didn't score a touchdown.
I mean, that was incredible too. They had four possessions in the fourth quarter and didn't complete a pass.
Yeah.
803-0550, our phone number.
I got a good one from one of my buddies. Everybody eats was a marketing slogan.
Yep. Well, that's for sure.
All that
was definitely a PR campaign, and it does not appear to have much substance behind it. 803-0550. I, in the break, of course, like a normal person, searched a 2025 NFL mock draft. You know,
come on.
Just a normal, it's a normal thing to
You're
do.
You're just gonna make yourself more upset when the Bills are drafting like a safety again.
Joe, I'll have you know.
Running back.
I'll have you know.
Boise State running back.
He went
best of all time. Maybe they're saying
he went 24th to the Cowboys.
Okay.
They do have the Bills projected to pick 29th in this.
Oh, that's pretty good. Might not be looking so good.
I think this is a little bit old. When was this posted?
They could pick 29th still.
That's the
AFC, no one else is good.
That's the AFC Championship game.
I don't even know if Houston's good. Houston's 4-1 yesterday. Anyone that impressed by them yesterday?
Yes.
I don't know.
They lost Nico Collins. Okay, you're right. This is only 3 days old. Anyway, 29th. What do I do when I look at a mock draft? This is the earliest I've done it. No, it's not. I probably did one last week, too. I'm like, all right, how many receivers are there? There's Tyrell McMillan. There's Luther Burden going 17th. Okay, maybe get up to 17th for Luther Burden.
Mbuka from...
Emeka Egbuka is not in this first round.
Wow.
Okay.
Maybe he's
but in this, they did have Evan Stewart, wide receiver, going to Baltimore, and Isaiah Bond, wide receiver, going to Kansas City. And the Bills take, I'm sorry, it's defensive back. Okay, to the phones.
Defensive back.
I got to replace Rasul Douglas. Brian in Williamsville. Hey, Brian.
Yes, I want to say Josh Allen is doing the defense no favors. By running the ball, we should be running the ball actually a little bit more than throwing it. If you have to throw it, fine, I can live with it. But then the second half, they should have gone back and forth and said, you know what, the defense is already banged up. Let's chuck it a little bit more. If we have to run it, great. We can run it, take some time off the clock, keep your defense from being out there where – they're so banged up and so nicked up. It's unbelievable. And I don't blame you for looking at the mock draft right now. I mean, Sean McDermott is part of the problem where you can't just go ahead and fire your OC almost every year. So I think he might have to go because he's firing his OC almost every year.
Thanks, Brian. The Bills were the run-heaviest team in the league this week.
Yep.
Neutral situations.
Neutral situation. No team was more committed to running than the Bills this week.
I'll have to look. They were under 40%. There was probably a game at the end of last year where that's true, but I bet not for a long time before that. Under 40% is a low number.
Here's the problem that they have on offense right now, though. You tell me they're run heavy, and I think, well, what's the alternative? They can't pass it right now.
Right.
Teams have no respect for their players, especially with Shakir out. So they were the run heaviest team. I mean, I just feel like there's so many missteps along the way to get you to where you are now. Worth pointing out about, I don't know, do I want to make this point? Whatever, it's Diggs Day. When Diggs left Minnesota, he was right.
Yes, he was. He was right about he thought
they were going to
turn the clock
they
back.
They were going to go run heavy, and he was right. And that guy got fired, and now they've got a great coach in Kevin O'Connell.
Yep.
Diggs was right about wanting to leave Minnesota. Diggs leaves Buffalo. Was he right? Did he not like the direction of the offense? It's too early. The point is, though, like they don't have a good passing game. We know that.
Yeah.
All this stuff about how well offense is down around the league. Not last week. Week 5, highest scoring week of the season.
It's trickling back.
Offense is coming back.
Yeah. Slowly. It's not like nuts,
This week was the highest points per drive, yards per play, highest rate of 10 plus yard plays, highest rate of 20 plus yard plays. Explosive plays are coming back. And the Bills, like the Bills playoff game against Kansas City, lives in my head because this game here we just had was a good look at it. Really limited on explosive plays, running the ball quite a bit, and then Josh going for bigger plays than are required on that 2nd and 10, going for the deep shot to Mac Hollins. That's the same as going for Shakir instead of throwing to Diggs when that was the right play. Like we get a lot about McDermott on game management, but Allen on game management sometimes leaves a little to be desired.
And it's years of inaction on your wide receiver core.
Yes, of course.
I just saw a stat, like how many opportunities you've had. Jaden Reed was, a second-round pick a couple years ago? Jaden Reed. Third player in Super Bowl era to have at least 400 receiving yards and 100 rushing yards in the first 5 games of a season. Guy was a second-round pick like 2 years ago. You could just had him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's amazing.
Listen, go back to...
It's not just him. There are 15 examples of that.
It's 3 years in a row that they have taken a pass catcher in the first 2 rounds. They've done that. But the problem is they did it at running back first.
Right.
And said, think of him as a wide receiver. No. Then they did it at tight end and said, think of him as a receiver. No. And then they took Keon Coleman, which that's fine. But in the richest receiver class ever, they traded down, took one, and then they were done.
And I don't even like that. That's part of it. It was too late. It's too late. The timing doesn't work on it. Where Coleman, I like that they finally got around to doing it. They drafted Coleman in the 2nd round. It was 2 years too late because you need him right now.
Yeah.
You need Coleman to produce, and it's not fair to expect that from him because he's a rookie. You need Keon Coleman right now to be year 3, Keon Coleman. Year 2 at least. And instead, I have the rookie because they waited until after Diggs was going to be gone to draft the guy rather than have the guy already integrated in the offense, have a year under his belt, and then be ready to explode as a veteran, not a veteran, but someone that has NFL experience. Instead, the timing on when you need a Keon Coleman to step in and be critical for you, first down on a critical series at the end of the game, where's the ball going? To him. But he's a rookie. We're 2 years too late, 3 years too late, at least 1 year too late on when they made that investment in that specific position.
Larry in South Florida. Good morning, Larry. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem, guys. As you know, I've been calling you guys for years, and obviously Jeremy a lot longer than Joe, and even before Jeremy, Howard and Jim Brinson back when they used to do the live camp. So that's how long I've been calling this and observing this team, and it's so obvious, it's so clear to me that we have ignored the wide receiver position for so long, other than giving up, giving Minnesota our first round pick to get Jefferson. And we got Diggs, who I love Diggs, trust me. But we had also gave up a first and a fourth. And we have all this draft capital for next year. But now that second pick, it looks like it's going to be a late second round pick instead of a high second round pick, because it's Minnesota's. So once again, we have a wide receiver problem. And to me, it's so obvious of what's going on with this team. Sean McDermott, and we said this after the 13-second game, could be, in this time, such a bad game manager of time with his defensive timeouts that he constantly takes and wastes timeouts. And even in that 13-second game, Mahomes afterwards interviewed and said, if he didn't do that, I was just going to run around and play junkyard ball, because we had no clue what we were going to do. We are in shock. And then when he took those two timeouts, it gave us time to plan. Now, again, obviously, who got fired? Special teams coordinator got fired. Well, the special teams coordinator isn't the one that set the defense. They are not the ones that decided to take away the sideline and leave the middle of the field wide open and play 20 yards off what their best wide receivers. Right then and there, I thought that should have been it. But here, this game, you get the ball on the 3-yard line with 32 seconds to go, and you choose to do what you did, and thinking, well, they're going to take the three timeouts anyway. Great, let them. It takes a little bit longer in a running play than it does a passing play, and then when they get the ball, they have no timeout. So to me, that's another Sean McDermott loss, and in a huge loss. And to ignore the wide receivers when, I think it was 4 years ago, they drafted Greg Rousseau in round one when we desperately needed more wide receivers.
It wasn't Rousseau the problem. I mean, Boogie Basham is round two.
Yeah. Right.
They
no,
took two of them.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my point. To follow it up with Boogie Basham, who's no longer with the Bills, and you had all those receivers to choose from. And last year, all the receivers to choose from. And then this year, we wait and move down to get Keon Coleman. Look what some of these other speed separators are doing, and we are desperate. Allen continually throws sideline passes like you guys were talking about. Well, if Cook just got his foot in bounds. Why has Cook got to get his foot in bounds if we start throwing over the middle? We don't have to worry about that. And the other thing I see is we don't have timing with anyone other than Shakir, or chemistry with anyone other than Shakir, because they're not getting targets, gentlemen. When you get 2 to 3 targets a game, where are we going to get this timing? Well, we can't, because we don't have receivers that can separate. We don't have guys that we're using properly. Samuel has speed. Put him in the slot. Put him over the middle. But we have all these guys that do the same thing. It is time for me, and I know this is not going to happen, because I don't feel this is really Brandon Bean's team. I actually think Bean is better than McDermott. And I agree with you. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a great defensive coach, but I don't think he's great when it matters the most. If I'm Bean, I know this is not going to happen. This is my dream. I go into Pegula's office today, and I said, look, you guys got to get rid of him, or I'm resigning at the end of the year. I know that's a pipe dream. I know it's not going to happen. But you have to do something. There has to be a change. And if we don't get quality wide receiver in next year's draft, and I mean first round, and then again, I don't care if you do it in the second or third round. I've had enough of us drafting DBs and the whole defense when, yeah, we did get Cyrus Torrence in the second round 2 years ago or first round. Yeah, that was a really good pick. Who cares? Allen needs receivers. We can't beat Cincinnati even though they're 1-4. We won't beat them. We won't beat Baltimore. We will not beat Kansas City unless we make a major change. And I think the major change has to be McDermott. I think he needs to go. He should have been gone 4 or 5 years ago. That's, again, just my opinion, and I appreciate you guys letting me vent.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the phone call. I'm thinking about how you could go back and revisit all the former draft picks of Boogie Basham. I mean, this team has spent 2/3 and a second on running backs. Right? Singletary and Moss and Cook. Two-thirds and a second on 3 running backs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good use of assets. And when it was Cook, I really truly believed that year they probably would have taken somebody like Sky Moore or whoever went in that second round. But the board didn't fall their way. They traded down twice and they took Cook. And the Kincaid pick still, I remember the first time I, you know, the first person I saw that didn't like the Kincaid pick, I forget who it was, but somebody that maybe Dalton Del Don, somebody Yahoo, maybe Matt Harmon, about Dawson Knox can catch the ball. He's a fine tight end. He's not terrible. You already had a guy that catches the ball at the tight end position.
That was paid.
Right. And now with Kincaid, like, think about the net gain on that. What is the net gain from Kincaid? You get Kincaid's production, and you get Dawson Knox being nothing. He's gone. So
yeah, right. He's irrelevant. He's on pace for 102 yards.
When you add
102 yards and he gets paid $10 million per year.
It's
102 yards.
It was an odd choice at the time. It kind of remains odd. And every time we talk about the pass catchers or the receivers, people want to say like, "Oh, I think it's actually a good group because you got to include Kincaid." Like, even if I do now, I mean Kincaid,
I need him to pop off a lot more than he is for that to be a worthy explanation. He's. I think he's fine. He needs to be better than fine, though. You know, what are his skills supposed to be? He's good yards after catch for a tight end, but he's not George Kittle, I don't think, in that way. I thought his number one asset is the dude's supposed to catch everything that's around him. And there's a couple plays yesterday where those are catchable. I need those to be catches. Not because they're easy, they're hard. There's one where he's turning and kind of stumbling and an out route, but the ball's there and it hits him in the arm and it's incomplete. I need that to be a catch, even though it's difficult, from Dalton Kincaid. The one along the sideline where he bobbles it, and maybe it was a catch, maybe it wasn't. I don't think it would have been overturned. Whatever. I need that to be a clean catch because that's the stuff Kincaid's supposed to be expert at. If he's not going to be, and he's just going to be a pretty good tight end, that pick does not look good. The only way that pick looks good is if he's like one of the five best tight ends in football. And I'm sorry, right now he does not look like one of the five best tight ends in football.
Well, he's supposed to be matchup problem, right? That was always it.
Defenses look like they don't care.
That's right. And when they made the pick, for me, the answer was, what would happen if they played the Bills? The answer is they would stay in nickel and not care. And then have somebody cover him. And for a guy that's, if he is a matchup nightmare, then that even that flies in the face of, well, it's important that everybody eats. No, if this guy's a matchup nightmare, make sure he's getting the ball a lot. 10 targets a game. Is he good enough to get 10? Can you scheme him 14?
Or just can he get open for 14 in general? That's the year two where don't we think they... Well, I don't know. I don't know if we know. They would have picked a receiver if one was there, if Addison had fell or Flowers had fell, whatever.
Yeah. Jamie in Ontario. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, good morning. Big Bills fan and Sabres fan. I don't know if you guys discussed it already about Cole Bishop. I bought his jersey thinking all the hype. I know he's a second-round draft pick. He's a rookie. But I was really, really disappointed in the way he played yesterday. He's just not able to make the tackles early in the first half. And with that Nico Collins touchdown, I know it was Douglas was the man, but he's running back, but he's not able to contribute. So he's not even getting back. So he's just in no man's land. I know he's a rookie, but I don't know Rapp's injury or if there's anybody else they could bring in for him, but I thought he really struggled. Just want to get your thoughts on it.
He at least, it's that one play.
Yeah, he blew one play big time, for sure.
I assume that it was on him. It looked like it was on him. When you watch the playback, Douglas turned right around after it happened, which would imply the same thing. How he played otherwise, I mean, I didn't really notice him give up any big gaff, but I mean, that job is you can't have it. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer didn't let a single play like that happen in 6 years. 6 years. So when it happens even once, I mean, that's enough for it to be remembered for a season.
Yeah, after that play, it was maybe Brett Coleman. Yeah, Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy. He wrote, "I feel like not having an elite safety pairing is killing this Bills defense a lot more than people realize. Almost all of their problems..."
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This year can be traced back to not having the baddest duo in the league anymore. what they had, and you know, we all wrote their obituary that they were slow and lost a step, and that's not necessarily wrong. But when they had those two guys firing on all cylinders, they had, of course, like Micah Hyde was a freak athlete. Jordan Poyer was an all-pro. Like, they had two guys that, you know, the two of them might as well have worked as one. And it was dominant for 6 years, 7 years. And Bishop going in there, I mean, he's a rookie. It happens. Unfortunately, it does. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about something new a little bit. The drive where, after the turnover, the defense got there at the 13-yard line or whatever, and Allen comes running out of the 10. What are your thoughts on maybe calling a timeout there instead of letting Trubisky take that first down play? Because you automatically know it's a run. I feel like it was just a lost play, right? So,
yeah.
Or maybe let Mitch throw the ball. The guy, he was a first overall pick, was he not?
Second. yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thanks, Joe. I mentioned this earlier, though.
I would not have done that.
Having Trubisky hand the ball is what Josh would have done anyway. On first down,
yeah,
they hand the ball off. That's what this team does.
Right.
This team handed off on 20 of 26 first downs.
So it was 100% that they were going to run that play.
Oh,
which, with Trubisky especially.
It was only 100, huh? What was it with Josh
they
in there?
Might have been
89?
89, yeah. Yeah.
Series success, I mean, well, rates.
Imagine if they had run play action Trubisky to the end zone.
They started 20 of their series,
yeah,
with a run and 6 with a pass. And one of the passes was the final series.
It was
20-5.
What? It's almost amazing the swing in 2 weeks from Joe Brady is a witch through 3 games. Look what he just did to Jacksonville. Look what he did to Miami. We're feeling great. Dorsey was here a long time. It could just be recency bias. I'll admit that up front. I don't know that I remember 2 weeks in a row feeling this poorly about their offensive coordinator.
Well, Dorsey beat the brakes off Miami in week 3 last year, yeah, and within 2 weeks it was about this bad. They went to Jacksonville, and then the Giants game. Like, it went south fast.
But what it, was it more, though, man, they just don't look right?
Yes.
More than, this is like,
no, that's
this
right.
is glaring stuff. This is a trick play that blew up as much as anything you've ever seen. What are you doing to the 3 plays at the end of the game? Maybe that's the difference. The difference
go.
Is you have 4 plays that I can eliminate everything else and just look at 4 plays and look at what in the world is Joe Brady doing.
So last year, after beating Miami 48-20, they go to London and lose to Jacksonville. And what are they? Asleep at the wheel, yeah, for 3 quarters of the game.
And then they pile it up in garbage time.
And then, yeah, the next game is the Giants.
They're
down
14.
6-0 at home.
Yeah, right.
The next game is New England.
Mm-hmm.
Asleep for the entire first half. They rally to take the lead, and Mac Jones beats them.
Yep.
Then Tampa, a game they win.
Yeah.
Then Cincinnati, score 18. Then Denver, lose on the kick. Like, so after beating Miami, the Bills went 2-4.
So it did,
and their wins were the Giants and the Bucks.
Okay, so it did turn.
It turned quickly. It turned quick.
So maybe the only difference is these are glaring plays that we're pinning in on, rather than the overall as much.
Yeah, you never.
You still can go after the overall though.
You never had a 9-for-30.
You didn't have a 9-for-30, and you didn't. Yeah, you didn't have a 9-for-30. That's really it. No, no one's had 9-for-30.
No, it was one of the worst
in 1992.
Yeah. Tough. Bad day. Just go beat the Jets. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. You can give us a call and we can chat about it. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up top of the hour.
I'm going to that Jets game.
Monday?
I'm going Monday. I am going Monday. No one will be happy walking in. Only one group of fans will be happy leaving.
Let's hope.
It's going to feel, if I'm walking out of that stadium
and they lose to the Jets,
being heckled by Jets fans after they've lost, that's going to feel like it's going to feel real deflating.
They're not
really bad.
They're not going to lose to the Jets. Although I would worry a little bit about Braylon Allen. He might run over a couple people. No, I'm not worried about that.
I'm right.
I'm not
worried about the Jets. I'm worried about the Bills.
803-0550, our phone number. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
gentlemen, two dangerous throws from his own end zone for Josh Allen. And I'll tell you what, Sean McDermott's got to be saying the same thing. Aggressive is aggressive, but there's only 20 seconds left to go in regulation, and then we head to overtime, and there's 95 yards in front of us here. Going to throw it again from his own end zone and skip the pass, and now this is almost like they don't know the score of the game here, ladies and gentlemen. It's tied at 20-20, and now they're going to have to punt from their own end zone after three incomplete passes only took about 12 seconds off of the game clock. I am dumbfounded.
Scott Hansen on Red Zone. Dumbfounded. Worst play of the day, that one goes to Jordan Love. He had a pick six that was hilarious.
Yeah, doing his best Will Levis impression.
And then he came back and, you know, they were just fine.
Other dumb plays were there yesterday.
Other dumb plays.
Rodgers pick six.
Yeah.
The Jets have another one like that.
The Giants fumbling on the 1 yard line, like about to score.
Okay.
And then Cowboys Seattle returning at 101 yards for the touchdown.
That's a good win for the Giants, by the way. Really good win.
See what Dable did? I just saw this. Dable did after the game. Wandell Robinson went live on Instagram in the locker room after the win. And so the video is all of the Giants players. Like, Wandell Robinson's got his phone up, and he's recording everybody dancing. And then you hear Dable come in the background screaming, "Stop posting that bleep." And then he's like, "Oh, sorry." And then he like immediately turns it off. Dable, a good day for him. Listen, they looked actually not bad considering Malik Nabers was not out there.
Hey, guys, they won without Nabers. I think they should maybe look to move away from him, Nabers. You go on the road and win without Nabers.
Yeah. In part because Wando Robinson is actually a very good
receiver.
He's good,
too. He's a good receiver. And Darius Slayton got a bunch of targets in this game. Call Joe Shane. I'll offer you two firsts and... Dwayne Smoot. I don't know why I just picked him. Go trade for Nabers. Clearly, the Giants have learned there's a formula to play without him.
Give him Rousseau if they want. I'll give them whatever they want for that guy. That guy's amazing.
803-0550. Mario in Jacksonville. Hey, Mario. Good morning. Welcome to Football Monday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure thing.
I wanted to talk about this everybody eats mentality that's been going around, right, for the season. As a former flag football champion, I can tell you, even in flag football, you need to have someone who draws defenders away from the defense. It's not rocket science, if you will, to understand that if you have a star wideout or even a capable wideout on the first or second position, that you're going to open up the middle of the field, et cetera. So for them to think that taking away Diggs was simply to take away that receiver spot, everyone else could eat, I don't really understand how they couldn't see the impact that having a star receiver, what that does for the entire offense. So I'm just, enough of this everybody eats stuff. I think everybody's starving is what they should start saying. But the thing that gets me most upset is I think we were kind of foolish with these first three games, thinking that that was what the team was. I think now we can see that the front office knew, hey, this is going to be a down year. This is what it's going to be. And I still think they look at the numbers, they're crunching the books, and they're going to say, hey, the division isn't good. I think what we have here is enough to win the division this year. Let's not go spend the money. We might go make a play for Cooper, but let's face it. Cooper isn't what he used to be. He can't change this offense. He's not a Diggs. I really don't see them making a move, and I kind of see this unfortunately being a problem moving on if something doesn't change with the coaching staff in the front office, because at this point it's really a culture issue that they fail to engage with the media, the fans, anyone who's telling them, hey, please get some receivers, Josh some help.
Yeah, thanks, Mario. To this, I'm not exactly torn on it.
I think that thinking is backwards, by the way.
Like,
oh, I'm going to win the division, so that way I don't have to make any moves. What we have is fine. To me, that is, I don't need an Amari Cooper because he's not Stephon Diggs also. I don't care if he's Stephon Diggs. I care that he's better than Mac Hollins playing on the outside.
The question is, there's a bunch of this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, in the days and weeks ahead. The header for me that I'm going to start with is, I never believed for a second this is what the Bills wanted at receiver. I do not believe it for a second. Never did. This is where they are. It's what they have to deal with because of their cap, because of the divorce with Diggs, which they did not want a year ago. You know, here they are. They're divorced now. They did not want this. They didn't. When Bean traded him, he said, we're not a better football team today. He knew that. And they didn't pull the trigger for an Ayuk trade. And they didn't trade up for a Dunze or Neighbors or Harrison Jr. or Brian Thomas, whatever. I never at any point believed, no, they really are going to see if this everybody. I think it was a marketing campaign, indeed. I think it was a PR campaign. It's, to me, Everybody Eats has as much seriousness as wearing shirts that say refuse to lose. Like, great, that's fine. I'm glad you have a slogan. At the end of the day, it's not really going to matter. What matters is win or lose, you know? And next year, they'll have cleared all that cap, and they'll have a bunch of picks. And, it was said on the broadcast maybe, and I want to start like saying it a different way. The Bills didn't take a $31 million cap hit to get Diggs off the team. I mean, they did. But that's not the way I want to say it anymore. They took a $31 million cap hit for a second-round pick. That's what they did. And they traded him to a team they would reasonably expect to be a competitor with them. So, let's zoom out. They made two trades this offseason. Two. What two teams did they trade with, Joe?
Texans and Chiefs.
The Texans and the Chiefs. Not worried about what it does for them, because I've got to do stuff for me. I want to move up in the third round. We're moving around. We're doing our thing. A team in transition would do that. A team in transition is, all right, I'm going to get that second round pick, and I'm going to get that contract off my books. And, we'll dress it up with some Everybody Eats stuff, and we'll see if Shakir can blossom, which it looks like he has, and if Kincaid can continue to grow, and maybe Coleman flashes enough. And then next year, of course, we'll go out in free agency and try to hunt down T. Higgins or Deontay Johnson or in the draft Luther Burden or whatever. So, I don't want to get on them too much, because there's the football side of it, and then there's the side that hits the social media feeds. And the football side of it is, and we got Mac Hollins out there at receiver, and it's definitely not ideal to pay a $1 million guy and get him six targets a game. That's the football side of it. What's the social media side of it? This guy doesn't wear shoes. we're having fun. He's a nice guy. Joe Brady called him his favorite human on earth. And that's all cool. Like, the human interest side versus the competitive football side. And I think maybe we want to be careful not to blend the two too much. This team is still a good team. They probably will still get some production from Mac Hollins along the way. He'll get touchdowns. He'll get some yards. Coleman will have some more highlights. They'll have an offense that struggles against teams that can play man coverage from their corners. But if you think it's not negligence, it has been negligence. Right now, it's not. I don't think it's an inability to understand what good receivers are. I think it's a calculated decision to not go at it yet. And I mean, they've waited long enough. But,
well, to this point, what's their biggest opportunity since Diggs?
Since the Diggs trade, the biggest opportunities have been drafting one in the first or second or third rounds anywhere along the way. Like, I just...
Right, it was draft day. Because really, right. Veteran-wise, I don't know what they've really had. What's their... Maybe Samuel was there. They really never got an Ayuk opportunity. Maybe no one ever really did.
If they could have kept Diggs,
mm-hmm.
The difference between keeping Diggs with the money you save there instead of Curtis Samuel, that could be Darnell Mooney. And I could have Diggs and Darnell Mooney and Keon Coleman on this team.
Well, that's just the Samuel signing then, right? That would have been signing a different receiver than Samuel for an extra couple million.
I don't want to go too far on how could they let this happen. I think they knew this was happening. The question is, will they get out of it? Will they decide an Amari Cooper or Davante Adams rental is worth getting through this season? And then next year, they're going to hunt for their next Diggs. Bean tried to trade for Antonio Brown. He did trade for Stephon Diggs. I never believed it. I never believed that this was like their idea of a good idea so much as this is something we're going to have to go through, and we're going to say a lot of things to make it sound good.
See, what also would you qualify though as like getting through their season? Because to me, when I think about them trading for a Cooper or Adams, like, to me, that is, you are probably going to make the playoffs, host playoff games, and I just don't want to throw away playoff games on this receiving core. Like, the idea of Cooper, to me, is you have him as a weapon by January, and he is going to help you win playoff games. Like, that to me is it. I don't care about just getting through the season and squeaking in the playoffs. Like, to me, that, I think, should, at this point, look like it's almost assumed.
And there's the flags fly forever part of this. Can you remember another team that was good to okay and went out and traded for a wide receiver and won the Super Bowl? Because the Rams did that.
With Beckham.
They did it.
Beckham was going to win.
He was going to be the Super Bowl MVP. Whole game was designed for him to feast, and he was, and they held on and they won. But that was a team that, what did they finish, 10-7 that year? Or were they 12-5? I don't even really know. They went out and they got Beckham, and they got Von Miller, and they won. 803-0550. We'll see. We got 24 days till the deadline. Maybe somebody else.
Start looking at
just invite someone. You know, everybody eats. Just invite somebody else over to dinner and have them bring a dish to pass, because we need some more eating from these guys. Jeremy and Joe, we'll get the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal's coming up. Lots of calls. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. And Sal, of course, all calls on a Football Monday on WGR.
Hey, coming up this Saturday at Consumers Beverages, Heineken Silver event from 12 to 2. Stop by, register for a chance to win autographed local football memorabilia. Enjoy other giveaways from WGR 550. Nate Geary will be on hand. Heineken Silver, world-class light beer. See you this Saturday at Consumers Beverages.
All right. Forecast today, weather getting a little chillier. That's good news, right? Fall weather arriving.
Yep. I've got a quarter zip, and I am wearing pants currently.
Yeah, high today. Thin pants. 62. Hey, football tonight, Monday Night Football. It is a Manning cast. They do return. Next week, Bills and Jets, and the Manning cast will be on that one, including Bill Belichick, of course.
Good. I need the Manning cast so bad tonight, because I cannot just watch a game at Arrowhead with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I can't. I can't do it.
The game's where, you said?
It's this little place that in the Midwest.
Arrowhead.
They call Arrowhead.
I'm eager to see a game there.
Yep.
I don't often get a chance to see that.
Actually, I believe it's a GEHA field at Arrowhead Stadium.
I'm picking the Saints. Specifically. Saints are going to win this game tonight.
Wow, three of the four on ESPN right now are
picking
the
Saints are going to win this game.
I think I want to pick the Saints too. But
and I'm going to allow myself to believe that until there's 1 minute left in the game and a flag is thrown because Patrick Mahomes points and then they get a kick and they win.
Maybe they'll get blown out.
Be wonderful.
They're due for one of those. The Bills got blown out. Everybody gets blown out. The Chiefs got blown out.
All right. If you're on hold, Sal will be rolling through your phone calls. He always does. So we didn't want to jam you in here this really short segment because we got to go with the Extra Point Show. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Stay tuned. Sal next.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.